Hello.
Hey, this is Sonorama here. Hopefully this records. A little cold in the car today. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, today, I'm going to talk a little bit about... I'm going to talk about top 10 lists. And this is top 10 lists based on vocal prowess, or vocal ability, or the best rock singers. And being a vocalist, I take I'm very interested in this conversation, because being a vocalist, maybe I'm a little sensitive about being judged myself, but anyway, here's something that popped up recently and multiple times, is people talking about how Chris Cornell has lost his vocal capabilities. He used to be able to sing good, but now he's lost a lot of his ability. He can't do what he once did. And interestingly enough, over the last little while, Chris Cornell has been getting a lot more mainstream attention, and by mainstream I mean attention outside of the hard rock, grunge, whatever you want to call it, sound that Soundgarden has been known for. So he's been getting more critically received on the other side, on the pop world side. So as he gets more mainstream acceptance on the pop side of things, he's starting to get less acceptance from where he started from. Chris Cornell's been doing a lot of touring on his own, and touring again with Soundgarden. And he's had a very storied career. He was the front man for Audioslave, which was him and the members of Rage Against the Machine. So he's had a very varied and interesting career. And it seems to me the more he has strayed from where he came from, the more criticism he falls under. However, in my opinion, he has only gotten better. Maybe the songs aren't up there with, some of his great classics, but he has written some really good material, and as a songwriter, he's really trying a lot of different things that he hadn't tried before. Not saying Soundgarden was one-dimensional, but it was one style of music that was really, really popular and a lot of people liked, but some people are not finding that love for his other material that he's done. But that's just an artist thing. You do what you want to do. So what's popped up is, in this age of top tens, there's always a top 10 best rock guitarist, or top 10 action films of all time, or top, and whenever Chris Cornell gets thrown into a list, sometimes there's mentions saying, well, he can't do what he used to, or he can't do what he used to, or someone in a message board below the top 10 list, oh, Chris Cornell, he sucks, he hasn't been able to sing good in, 10 years, or whatever, and you get all this blasting of the guy. And I find it really, really interesting, because what makes a vocalist good? From a fan perspective, if we're looking at technical prowess versus performance, so if you go see Brian Johnson from AC/DC sing, and he's there kind of doing his little dance and, running around, and he still sounds exactly like he did 20 years ago, a lot of people would say, hey, Brian Johnson, amazing vocalist. But if Brian Johnson had changed his style and was no longer, doing that raspy thing that he does, and was starting to do a bit more clean singing, people would say that he lost it. So here's the thing. Here's what's happened to Chris Cornell's voice over the years. And I'm really going to defend him here, because I think that Chris Cornell is a better vocalist now than he was, 20 years ago or 25 years ago when Soundgarden, formed. And when Soundgarden formed, if you follow technically what Chris Cornell was doing with his vocals, when he started out, he's doing a lot of screams, a lot of high pitchedness in his vocal, a lot of just really high, you know, ear piercing shrieks, followed by a low guttural growls like that, and then a lot of that stuff going on. So, does that make a good vocalist? Yeah, sure, why not? I was a huge fan of his vocals back then, and I'm a bigger fan of his vocals now. But here's the difference. When you start singing and you first find your voice as a vocalist, you're going to sound a particular way. You're going to be singing a particular range of notes that are comfortable for you. And as you progress in your vocal career, as you learn more about your voice, you're going to expand that vocal range of what of the keys that you're singing in, and you're going to be able to sing more different types of vocal. So, for example, using the Brian Johnson from AC/DC, yeah, he's doing his rasp. Probably sounds exactly as he did 20 years ago. He's doing the same thing, very comfortable. That's his little pocket that he's in, and that's what he sings in. And, you know, it's all fine and dandy. Nothing wrong with that at all. You know, that's, you know, people love AC/DC, crazily so. So, Chris Cornell, on the other hand, here's what he's done as a vocalist. As his career's progressed, he's developed some middle range in there. So his middle range was okay, but it wasn't as expansive as it is now. And he started filling in all those gaps. So if he's singing a high note like, or he's singing a real low, if he's singing the top and the bottom, he's probably not hitting all the notes in between. So when he's doing a vocal, he's just going to purely sing it in the high register, or purely sing it in the low register. And he might do one verse in the high, one verse in the low register, and then that's what he's doing. What he's done through his career as it's gone by, and he's tried things, because he's done a lot of experimentation with his vocals, and he started to fill in, instead of just going high and low, he's throwing some mediums in there. Kind of middle range, you know, maybe, you know, two or three notes or three or four notes kind of in the middle. And, you know, and then he's still doing his highs, he's still doing his lows. And then he adds, you know, two or three more notes in the middle, and another two or three more notes in the middle, to the point that he's actually filling in that range. Well, what happens when you start developing your vocal cords that way, when you're, you know, exercising your vocals, because really, that is what he's doing by repetition, is he's just re-hitting, you know, he's stretching the muscle, getting the muscle strong. The muscle is able to do different things. So, for example, you know, it's just like if you're working out and all you do is bench press, 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 you'll notice that your bicep strength or your tricep strength has a particular strength to it, but is going to be weak in other areas. It's the same thing with your vocal cord. If you're continuously doing repetition, you're going to get really, really strong at that one exercise or that one set of notes. But if you're continuously cross-training your voice, and you are, you know, you're working, so you're doing a bench press, and then you're jumping down and doing push-ups, and then you're going to go do some flies, and then you're going to do some incline, you're going to have a more rounded muscle that is able to do more things. But your particular strength that you started out with when all you did was bench press, which works a particular part of your pec, you're only going to be strong with that one exercise. So when Chris Cornell started out, it was those high shrieks, and it was those low guttural growls that he was really, 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 really powerful at, because those were the only two exercises he did. As he progressed in his career, he started doing more things, and then all of a sudden, he's filling in a lot of middles. Now, if you're not a vocalist, you might not understand this. So that's what I'm trying to explain in as layman a term as possible. Is that what starts to happen is he's doing less of the high notes and less of the low notes, but his overall range has increased. So he might be able to sing in this key and in that key, but he can't sing all the keys in between. So now he's filled out all the keys in between, and he sings that range really well, and he can still hit some of those upper register notes, but he's not hitting all those upper register notes. Did you see what I'm saying? So, and the same thing on the lower register. He's hitting a lot of those lower register notes, but he's not hitting that absolute lowest register that he used to hit. So, someone who is not a vocalist can take a look at what he's doing and say, oh, well, he can't sing like he used to. Of course he can't sing like he used to. He's singing better than he used to. Equating this to training again. So, here's the difference. Here's another way to break it down, is that if you are training to be a rower, you want to be a rower and you want to compete on an Olympic level in rowing, and you're just going to work on that rowing and you're going to work on that rowing, and then you become the best rower in the world. You're not a high jumper. Your lower body strength is not going to be as strong as your shoulders and your back. So what happens when, well, okay, I've accomplished all I can in rowing, and now I'm going to take on another sport. Well, then you're going to start training in the other sport and start training towards doing that other sport. And what's the other sport? Well, the other sport is high jumping, maybe, or let's use something different. We'll say it's running. You want to be a sprinter. Well, now you're going to shift your focus, and you're going to start working on your legs. You're still going to have that upper strength that you always had, because you're still going to be working it out a little bit, but you're not going to be the best in show for rowing. You'll be the best in show, eventually you become the best in show in running or sprinting, but then you don't quite, if you want to get back into doing the rowing, you're going to have to switch your workouts again, and it'll take some time to get to that point. So with Chris Cornell's vocal cords, he has been working on changing what he does and learning to do more things. If you listen to any of Chris Cornell's solo records, whether you like the songs or not, you really need to listen to the vocal and what he's doing with them. And he's doing way more varied things than he was ever able to do in the past. These are things he would have never been able to accomplish 20 years ago when everyone thought his vocals were at their peak. So you think that he's no longer a good vocalist, but he's just not hitting those particular sets of notes that everyone is accustomed to. But he has more range, and he can do anything. He used to not sing quietly very well. He has a very good quiet voice with a lot of control. A lot of people, when they sing loud all the time, cannot switch to singing a quieter vocal. And hitting all those notes on a quieter vocal, they always have to push the vocal out instead of letting let it come out of your stomach and pushing from your stomach and just letting your vocal cords take the note and carry it, as opposed to pushing the note out and straining the vocal cords. So Chris Cornell is an amazing vocalist, and he hasn't lost anything. He's actually just gotten better. Now, myself, in my own vocal, in my own vocal techniques and singing, when I started out, I had a really strong low register. That was my biggest strength. I had no higher register to speak of at all. I couldn't hit the high notes. I just couldn't get up there. I had a mid to really low range, and that's what I was doing. That's all I could do. But what I did when I joined, I was in a cover band, and when I was in that cover band, I was having to sing a bunch of songs that weren't in my register whatsoever. In fact, most of the songs weren't in my register whatsoever. So I had to learn how to sing these songs and work my vocal cords and work that muscle and strengthen the muscle and do those rows. You know, do that same repetitive exercise over and over and over again. And as I went through the motions for a period of, I don't know if it was 5 years or whatever, I was being able to hit those high notes, or I was able to go higher in my range, but I lost some of my lower range because my muscles took on the shape of what I was trying to attain. Now, could I go back and sing those low notes? Sure. If I switch my training, my vocal training up, and change things around, which is kind of what I'm doing now, I was able to hit some pretty freakish high notes. But that's not what I want to do all the time. I kind of prefer being in the middle with an occasional high note, but I still want to be able to hit those low notes because that's just the style of music that I'm playing right now. So if I switch my training around and I stop doing all the high register stuff and start working towards the low register, it'll come back and my muscles will start shaping in, you know, in the different direction or the different style. Chris Cornell is capable of the same thing. I think any vocalist is able to go back to what they used to sound like. And it's just a matter of, well, I'm not going to be able to do this anymore. If I really want to get that high shrieking wail that Chris Cornell was capable of, I'm going to have to give up other things in order to accomplish that goal. So it's always a trade-off. It's not you're becoming less of a vocalist or you're not as good. You're always expanding the range you can do, but that range is going to follow along based on the workout that you're doing. If you're long distance running, your muscles are going to lean out. If you're looking for short bursts, you're probably going to have, you know, thicker, bigger legs because you need quick bursts of power. It's the same thing for vocals. If you're doing a lot of screaming, you're not going to be doing as much quiet stuff. Another case in point, a lot of people think Dee Snider is the cat's meow for vocalists, and I do admit he's pretty good. And he himself has admitted it, that he can't sing quiet to save his life. When he does, he just completely goes off key. But when he's singing loud, he sings really good at a loud volume, but he can't go back and sing that quiet vocal. Now, if he goes and trains for it, then, well, I guess he's not going to be fronting Twisted Sister anymore, because that's the vocal that you come to expect. So, does any of that make sense to you guys? Do you agree or disagree with what I had to say here on vocal prowess? Take a listen to a lot of vocalists, and really take a listen. I mean, you may not understand notes, but I'm sure you understand what high and low means. And I'm sure you can understand what a middle range means. Just take a listen. And does it make sense what I'm saying here? Like, are you able to hear that difference and hear middle range notes? And a lot of people can hit those middle range notes, but they're not. If you have a consecutive set of notes, you might get 2 out of 3, or 2 out of 8 notes in that middle range because you haven't mastered that middle range. So. Hope that makes sense to you. I hope you understand what I'm saying. And I hope you're going to go a little easier on Chris Cornell. Now, if you think the guy's a jerk, that's a whole other story. If you think the songs suck, that's a whole other story. You can't say he's less of a vocalist because he's lost. Because you think he's lost vocal ability. If he's become less of a performer, well, maybe it's because he's starting to get old. I don't know. But when you're rating a vocal performance, remember, there are two aspects. There's the vocal, the technical side of it, and then there is the theatrical side of the vocal, and that whole job of being a frontman. And being a frontman is one job of the lead vocalist, and technical prowess is the other job. And many vocalists that do not have the technical prowess have made great careers by being a really, really good front man or woman. Anyway, that's Sean Arama today. A little shorter than normal, but I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. We'll be back next week. Not sure what we're going to talk about, but we'll get there when we get there. Sayonara.